take a good look. There it is. A lot of primetime games that you're used to when you have someone like Peyton Manning as your quarterback. The Broncos will open at home against the Baltimore Ravens for the second time in 3 years. And sprinkled throughout, there are a lot of primetime games. There are a lot of matchups against good teams, seven of which who made the playoffs last year. And for the next 30 minutes, we're here to break it down here at the Tavern downtown with Phil Milani and Andrew Mason. Also going to have Antonio Smith join us here on set right around 6:20 to break down the schedule. Hey, everyone, thanks for joining us. As we said, we are downtown for the next 30 minutes going over the schedule live with Phil and Andrew. I'm Chris. Thanks so much for tuning in. The Rockies' first pitch is right around 6:40. So if you're at work wrapping up, come on down here. There's some room. There's drink specials, I'm sure, going on. And if you're walking around, you have us on the mobile app, hop on in. We'd love to see you. Again, we're going to break down the schedule here for the next 30 minutes. Guys, took until late this afternoon. We finally got it, and then we started to work on this show. This is an exciting day. I know, Andrew, this is 10-plus years you've had a day like this, and for me, it's the 10th time when we get this schedule. We can start planning our falls in winter. We'll go through week by week here in a minute, but let's just start with kind of what jumps out at this schedule when we've been waiting so long to see it. Phil?
Well, I think that if you just, your first takeaway, you look, you might think, hey, the schedule makers didn't do the Broncos any favors going on the road 4 out of 5 weeks right before the bye week there. But if you take a closer look at it, it's not quite as bad. At Kansas City is a Thursday night game, so then they'll have a little bit of a weekend off there. And then they'll go on the road again and face Detroit. Now, that'll be a tough game. But then you come back and you go to Oakland and Cleveland, and then you have the bye week. So maybe not quite as bad, but, of course, it's the 10th toughest schedule in the NFL.
Right. Andrew, seven playoff teams from a year ago. Broncos want to get back to the playoffs. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, seven playoff teams. Every team that's been to the playoffs for 4 years running is on there. Of course, the Broncos are one of them, but you got the Bengals, you've got the Packers, and you've got the Patriots. What jumps out, you talk about the four road games in 5 weeks going into the bye. That's tough, but you know it's manageable, I think, given the quality of the opponents. Coming out of the bye, you've got Green Bay, Indianapolis, Kansas City, at Chicago, which is going to be tricky because John Fox knows this team very, very well, and so does a lot of his staff. Following that, New England, and then San Diego. That's a six-game stretch that I think could make or break the Broncos' 2015 season.
Yep, 16 games. Broncos want to go after another AFC West title. Let's start breaking it down. And of course, we start with week one. As we said, to lead off the season, Broncos open against Baltimore on Sunday, September 13th. Kick is at 2:25 Mountain Time. Remember, last played in week one in Denver to open 2013. Broncos rolled the Ravens back then, 49-27. But so much has changed since then, guys. Haloti Ngata, he's gone. Ray Rice, he's gone. Of course, on this team now, Owen Daniels and Darian Stewart. And, of course, Gary Kubiak and other members of this coaching staff, Andrew, who are now in Denver. You want to get the season started off right.
Yeah, fascinating matchup because Kubiak and Dennison and Brian Perriani, tight ends coach, know that Ravens team so well. And, of course, you know, the Ravens know the Broncos well just from going against them, you know, in 2012 regular season, 2013 season opener. Of course, we all remember the 2013, the January 2013 playoff game, even though we'd all like to forget that. Fascinating matchup to start. And a little quirk, it's the first daytime home game in week one for the Broncos since 2002.
Right.
Interesting thing on the schedule, the Broncos rarely played a daytime home game in week one because CBS for years had the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament. CBS does not anymore. Now they can have a doubleheader start week one, and thus you have the Broncos opening up in the sun for the first time at home in a long time.
Yeah, and Phil, again, you want to set the tone early, that first game, week one, and of course, Gary Kubiak gets to kind of cross off playing one of your old teams pretty early. Again, you want to set the tone, get the season off on the right foot.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Broncos, this is the fifth opener at home in a row. Of course, last year, the Colts. Before that, you mentioned facing the Ravens. Before that, the Steelers. So the Broncos have typically, in recent memory, gone off to a great start at home. And you know what's interesting? You know how we have that schedule predictor on our website?
That's right.
12% of people on the website picked the Ravens. So, hey, they knew that this is a possible big-time matchup for the Broncos, of course, with Gary Kubiak. And you also mentioned Darian Stewart and Owen Daniels going back to face their old team. So definitely a huge game. And the other thing is, with the Broncos playing the AFC North, you know that this is going to be kind of a gritty schedule.
Yeah.
And it starts right that way on week one.
12%. I did not guess the opener correctly. My guess was at Chicago. That was on Twitter. Hey, I put my name on it. That's okay. Let's move on to week 2, as we touched on. Broncos will start at home. However, it is a quick turnaround. On Thursday, September 17th, the first Thursday night game of the year, Broncos go to Kansas City to open division play. Remember, last year, Broncos won thanks to a goal line stand to close the game when they first faced the Chiefs in Week 2. But even without Jamal Charles, they still ran for 133 yards in that game. Remember, Nile Davis kind of had that little coming out party. Mace, maybe let's see how this run defense got a little better after an offseason.
Yeah, certainly a good test for the run defense, and you're obviously hoping that you have Danny Trevathan and Brandon Marshall available for this game. Obviously, Trevathan's 100%. Marshall's still on the mend, but he's coming along well following his foot injury. Interesting thing, the Broncos have actually been pretty dominant at Arrowhead the last few years. They have a four-game winning streak. If they win in Week 2, it would be their longest ever winning streak at Arrowhead Stadium. And that really shows you the quality of what the Broncos have done the last few years, because Arrowhead has historically been a house of horrors for the Broncos, not so much this decade.
Well, you know, to add on top of that, the Broncos enter that game with an 11-game consecutive wins in the division streak. And of course, Chris, we know how dominant Peyton Manning has been against the Chiefs, 17-1 all time against Kansas City.
That's right. And we'll hear leading up to that game, division games, you have to win those. They really count the most, especially when you know you'll get that home one later on in the season. You want to see what you can do on the road, especially when this new offense. How are they going to communicate? You get a good chance at Arrowhead. Moving on to Week 3. Cue the roll-in on Sunday, September 27th. Another night game in a row, this time at Detroit on Sunday Night Football. Broncos got rolled the last time they were there, 44-7 back in 2007. Not really relevant. What is relevant, however, right now, the Lions, Mace, they finally kind of turned that corner. Last year, they made the playoffs and almost beat the Cowboys the wild card round.
And a potentially potent offense. Chris Harris talked yesterday about how the cornerbacks are going to be left on an island a lot more this year. And
that's
against
right.
Golden Tate and Calvin Johnson. Talk about a big test early in the season against those two guys. And for the Broncos, historically, you know, they haven't played Detroit in 4 years. They haven't been to Ford Field in 8 years. I mean, Peyton Manning hasn't even been there in 11 years. But their last two games against Detroit, they lost by a combined 72 points. So certainly looking to do far better than they did in their last couple of games against the Lions.
Yeah, well, you know that, of course, Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson, good friends from their Georgia Tech days. And, yeah, a lot of people thought this game was going to be on Thanksgiving,
That's the potential matchup.
We all thought it was going to be great.
I sure did.
Another holiday related to this, the Broncos' last win in Detroit, Christmas Day, 1999.
Phil and Andrew, we all love Thanksgiving, so we'll be working on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
you know that. That's
exactly,
great.
Exactly.
Here we go. Moving on to Week 4. The Broncos will return home, and for those of us who work the games, not at night.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take that. Broncos will host the Vikings at 2:25, and just like that, half the NFC North slate is off the board. A young team on the uptick. Question is, will Adrian Peterson be a part of that team?
Big question, but even without Peterson last year, a lot of promise for the Minnesota Vikings. Teddy Bridgewater got much better. Everson Griffin had a big season with 12 sacks, and Mike Zimmer, I think, really showed his chops as a head coach in his first year on the job. A lot of close games between the Broncos and Vikings over the years. The last couple of games have gone down to swings of the kicker's foot on the last play of the game, one in overtime, one in regulation. And if Bridgewater comes out firing and plays well, he's got Mike Wallace to throw to now. They can add another target in the draft. Could be an intriguing matchup in Week 4.
We all know how much you love Teddy Bridgewater coming into the draft. But we also know that any young quarterback coming into Denver in the altitude with the fans,
right.
It's a very tough atmosphere. And if they don't have Adrian Peterson as that security blanket for him, it could be a long day, especially with Wade Phillips' new aggressive defense. It could be a long day for Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, hope so for Broncos fans. That's a quarter of the schedule pressing on now to Week 5. Broncos go back on the road. We'll head to Oakland. We'll talk to Antonio Smith about that in just a minute. Against Jack Del Rio, of course, and that game kicks off at 2:25 Mountain Time. Broncos last lost to Oakland back in Week 1, 2011, guys. More division play. You want to just keep getting through this easy part, this early part of the schedule.
Early part of
the schedule as you continue to kind of define who this team is under this new staff.
Yeah, well, I think that this is going to be a little bit of a different type of Oakland team. Jack Del Rio will come in there, establish a stronger, tougher kind of culture there. And, of course, we saw what Carr did last year. He'll be another year stronger. They've added Crabtree at the wide receiver position, and Mace, they have the fourth overall pick in the draft this year.
Yeah, they're going to get someone potentially transformative with that fourth overall pick. Of course, the Broncos have been dominant at Oakland the last few years. They've won four straight. They've won 10 of the last 12 going back to 2003. And with all the questions about what's going to happen with the Raiders and Chargers have, you know, talked about their potential stadium plan down in Carson outside of L.A., this might be a little bit of nostalgia about this one. Might want to savor this game because it could well be the last trip to Oakland.
Here we go. Week six. Then to close out this six-game stretch with four on the road before the bye, four out of five on the road is Phil Milani touchdown. Broncos head to Cleveland to play the Browns. Nice and early, 11 o'clock Mountain Time. I guess the first question could be, who will be the Browns' starting quarterback? Who will they be preparing for? We don't know.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to say Josh McCown is the favorite at this point, but
sure.
It's wide open. When you look at the Browns, there's a lot of talent on the roster. You've got Joe Thomas, arguably the best left tackle in the game. It's going to be a challenge for Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware to get pressure going up for each of them going up against Joe Thomas. Joe Hayden at cornerback, we know how good he can be. He can shut down one of the Broncos receivers. Little interesting stat, Peyton Manning unbeaten in Cleveland for his career, 6-0.
Unbeaten in Cleveland. We'll play against a team that'll look a little different, both personnel-wise, and I know you're going to touch on those new uniforms. Those came out last
week. Yeah, new uniforms, the orange uniforms. But
red.
We know,
red.
Oh, red.
They look red.
Red. Sorry, they could be a little bit red. But we know this is going to be a big game for T.J. Ward.
Absolutely.
Playing against his former team. But an interesting fact about the Browns, the Broncos have 10 consecutive wins against Cleveland. The last time the Browns beat the Broncos, 1990. Our associate editor of the website, Ben Swanson, wasn't even born then. That was John Elway against Bernie Kosar. How long ago.
I was 12 years old. I didn't see that game. There you go. That's the first 6 weeks. And then, as I said before, a little exhale. Broncos get to take a break. It's the bye week. Comes this week, this season, in week seven. Last year, guys, it came in week four. Broncos had to play out that stretch towards the end of the season, battling some injuries. That little bone you get from the Thursday night game, also off the table. Here's a bye at week seven. Could be a little better. I'm sure players would say yes, but it's not necessarily the end of the world.
And actually, if you include the preseason, the four games then, this is at the precise midpoint going from August to the end of
the
regular season, 10 games apiece. So it's not a bad spot to have it. Actually, week seven and week nine are historically the two most frequent times for Broncos byes. This is their seventh week seven bye.
Well, some people say that it doesn't really matter where your bye week was. Last year, I kind of felt like it mattered a little bit. By the end of the season, when you look all the way back at week four, it was so long ago, and it's such a grind week in and week out. Week seven will be much better.
Of course, it really doesn't matter when the bye falls. You can't do anything about that. What you can control is what you do during that bye, taking care of your body, doing some self-scouting. I'm sure Coach Kubiak is already designing his plan for that week. Let's move on. Skipping week seven because of the bye. Week eight now. The NFC North champion Green Bay Packers. The NFC North champion Green Bay Packers come to town on Sunday, November 1st. The start of what could be a historic two-week stretch. We'll get to that in a minute. Personnel-wise, they're practically the same team that, no disrespect to the Seattle Seahawks, but they're practically the same team that should have represented the NFC in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, certainly an onside, fielded onside kick away from being able to do that. And it's, in my opinion, the most intriguing home matchup. Some people are going to talk about the Patriots game, but the Patriots have come here a lot before. Manning, Aaron Rodgers, they've only met once, 2008. Rodgers was in his first season as a starter, so he wasn't Aaron Rodgers as we know him today. So you've got to love that quarterbacking matchup. And coming after the bye, it's in the Broncos' favor. They're 20-6 all-time coming off byes, including 14-3 at home.
Well, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. He's actually never played in Denver, so the fans here definitely get a treat there to see Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, come here. But this game could be all about the Broncos' quarterback. You mentioned the history.
Yep.
If, you know, schedule makers, some of these things don't happen by accident.
No, this is not an accident.
No. Coming after the bye week, it's Sunday Night Football. A lot of eyes are going to be on the screen. And if Peyton Manning averages around 300 yards a game passing during the first six games of the season, it's potential. It could build up to Peyton Manning breaking Brett Favre's all-time career passing yards record against his former team.
But remember, you know, all the guys are talking about a little more of a run emphasis this year. So
exactly.
The new offense may kind of disrupt any quote-unquote timing that they would have on putting that game on November 1st.
Well, if that were to happen, there could be another milestone that night. If the Broncos are undefeated heading into that game and they happen to knock off the Packers, Peyton Manning would tie Brett Favre's record for career victories.
That would be historic.
There's a lot.
There's a lot right there. There's a lot there to digest. And I'm frankly confused. But we're going to try and go through all that. Let's move on to Week 9 and continue with a little piece of history that could play a role building up to this game. Back on the road again, this time against the Colts. Right now, you got to remember, CBS kept that game. Kickoff at 2:25 Mountain Time. Peyton Manning has two teams left on his list to beat as a visiting quarterback. The Packers at Lambeau. That is not going to happen. But also the Colts at the building that Peyton Manning built, Lucas Oil Stadium. There's also the playoff storyline tie from a year ago. CBS, they wanted this one, Andrew. They didn't want to give this one up.
Yeah, and it appears the Colts are better than they were when they came in to Denver in January and knocked off the Broncos 24-13. A lot of veteran pickups, but you'd think that Andre Johnson still has something left in the tank and certainly playing off of T.Y. Hilton, he's going to get his chances. You know, we'll see what Frank Gore has left. They brought him in as well. Very, very intriguing game, and I think, you know, one thing for the Broncos I think will be in their favor is that this is going to lack the pomp and circumstance and hubbub that accompanied Peyton Manning's trip to Indianapolis back in 2013 when they had the tribute video and the place went wild. This is just going to be about the game itself. I think that will favor the Broncos this time.
Hey, don't forget the other guy, Nate Irving, will be lining up for the Colts at linebacker facing his former team. So there's going to be a little bit of hype there. And as you just saw and Mace mentioned, that tribute video, we were all there. It was a very emotional setting there last year.
It was.
2 years ago. Broncos unable to get that done. But as you mentioned, it's going to be kind of a case of revenge for the Broncos trying to knock off the Colts after what they did and were able to do here in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, it was emotional. I remember shooting that thinking that the Indianapolis organization did a great job honoring Peyton and his return. I also remember literally rolling on it thinking how cool this was. And I thought that we've talked about since then how emotional it was. Peyton, he's played the Colts since then, has moved on from that story directly, but it will be a different environment heading into Lucas Oil this time around. There we go. Halfway home. That is 8 weeks of the Denver Broncos 2015 regular season schedule. We got 8 more games to go, including Antonio Smith, who's standing right over there. He'll join us on set here at the Tavern downtown. We'll be right back.